الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والذين جاهدوا فينا لنهدينهم سبلنا سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون والسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. So over the past several weeks we've been sharing some of the circumstances that arose during this trip with Sheikh Zulfikar for Umrah. And the funny thing is, while we're talking about this, he had another Umrah trip. So he's actually at Umrah right now. And there's people that are there with him, and I think some people will come back today or the day before, so maybe they can sit and tell us share some of the events that occurred. But this is the cycle of the people of piety. They are just constantly in the circles of the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they are constantly serving others and guiding them along that path. So I have maybe two, three topics. I don't know. Different things come to my mind. One thing I had totally forgotten, and I was driving here in a rush, and all of a sudden that took over my mind. I started thinking about that, and so I'll talk about that today, inshallah. Hazrat, when you sit with Hazrat, you get to see a lot of extreme circumstances. People come, they don't come with their daily problems, they come with their life problems. There's a difference. Daily problems, you know, my shoelace broke. Life problem, major calamity occurring in family relationships, finances, you know, legal things, etc. They save up to come to meet Sheikh Zulfikar. They're piling the problems on, and then when they come, they dump it. So, you know, he gets the extreme of everything. He gets the things that don't resolve themselves over time. And interestingly, although the circumstances differ, and although the response, the specificity of the response differs depending on what circumstances is presented to him, there is one general theme that underlies his response. And the general theme is that he always is very positive and he's always very hopeful. So these are two general things that are constant in his response. He's positive and he's very hopeful. And human beings, interestingly, and Sheikh Zulfikar is a master of this because he's a master of the Sunnah, and the master of the Sunnah will be able to guide human beings in the best way. Human beings are people who need to be encouraged. We as human beings, we need to be encouraged. And we need to hear positive things. And if we aren't encouraged and it's not positive, it's very difficult for us to be able to make it to the next step. One of the blessings of the day is that it ends in the night. So no matter what problems you have during the day, in the end, the sun sets on them and restarts the next day, right? I mean, that's the daily routine. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created life so that day was perpetual, and then it ended, and then night was perpetual, and then you died, we wouldn't be able to handle it. You need to start and then sort of stop, and then let everything start over again, and then stop, and let everything start over again, because every day is a new hope, every day is a new chance, every day is a new opportunity. So this is one of the, perhaps one of the wisdoms or one of the benefits of having this this daily cycle that we experience. It grants us an opportunity to rejuvenate ourselves. And we as human beings, again, we're dependent on that. And in whatever extreme circumstances presented, Sheikh Zulfikar will always pull out the most positive thing from the cloud. For example, you want to sit down. So you go to him, he sees my son, okay? And he knows that my son is doing Hifz al-Quran, so he says to him, how far are you? Okay, now at one point we saw him and the answer was fifth juz, and another point we saw him and the answer was tenth juz, and another point we saw him maybe and the answer was 15th juz, or whatever it might have been. I don't know the numbers exactly, but we saw him over a period of time, right? So No matter what number it is, it's a very positive response. It'll be, oh, fifth juz? MashaAllah. So you only have to do, you've done five whole big juz. You know, something like that. And then, and he'll say, that, or he'll say something like, okay, fifth juz? Oh, you're just right there where you'll start doing a page a day and then 2 pages a day and then you won't even remember. You'll be doing so many juz like this and this. He'll turn it into the most positive thing. So when we, last time when we saw him, maybe not last time, but 2 times ago, we saw him, and then he looked at Zakaria and he said, okay, how far are you? And I don't remember what the number was, but it wasn't in the double digits. It was in the single digits. So then he kind of sat us down and he said, okay, I'm setting a target date. The kids were there too. He said, I'm setting a target date. So what's the target date? He says, the target date is 1 year from now. You need to finish, and your celebration for completion of Hifz will be in Dubai. Then he looked at me and he said, not the target date for him, target date for everybody. So I'm thinking everybody back in Chicago also, all right? So then I come back and I tell all the teachers, okay, this is the target date Sheikh Zulfikar set. Now, realistically, there's no way anyone was going to hit that target date. I mean, that's a very, very, very high, lofty target. But he made it sound so easy, like, oh, it'll just come and you'll be in Dubai and we'll have a celebration. So I told the teachers, I told all the students, everybody has to finish by this day. The parents started hearing they had to finish by this day. And so everybody got under a little bit of pressure. Everybody got a little bit of hope. Everybody saw, like, it's not that far away. It's just a year away. In 12 months, we'll all be done with this Hifz thing. It's driving us crazy. You know, as parents, we got this weight on our shoulders. And so it'll all be relieved and off our shoulders. So, of course, we approached the date, and nobody completed by that day. But the effect was that everyone was so charged and encouraged that it got us to over the next hump. Because when you're doing Hifz of Quran, there's this fifth juz hump, and then there's this 10th juz hump, and then there's this 15th juz, and then there's this 20th juz, and then maybe from 20 it goes downhill. But the point is that you have to overcome these humps. There's a certain amount of energy, right? You've got to overcome these energy curves in order to get to the other side. So that hope that he provides creates such encouragement, because he makes it sound like it's so easy. He'll tell you two or three stories about people who finished Hifz in 30 days, one juz a day or something. And it'll make it sound so easy that you'll be so highly encouraged that you'll think like anybody can do this. So he said this, he said this when we were sitting there in this trip. He asked my son, you know, how far are you? And I don't know, maybe at that time, what was it, 11 or 12 or something like that? He said, oh, you're just a few months away. Oh, you're just a few months away. Now, actually, is he really a few months away? No. I mean, maybe at that point he wasn't a few months away. But to get from 11 to 20 is a really difficult task. That's the hardest. The hardest thing in anything in life is the middle thing. The middle thing is very hard. So this 10 to 20 number is very difficult, but because that encouragement was present, like, oh, this is something easy, you can do it, it's cake, this is how we're going to do it, then he was highly encouraged, and because he was highly encouraged, you know, he kept working, and that created the stimulus for him to be able to move to the next level. But that's the only way that human beings respond. If he would have said, 10, you're only on the 10th juz, how long have you been doing this? You've been doing this for how many months? And you're only on the 10th? You would have been so dejected, he wouldn't have even got to the 11th in a year. There's no way. Nobody can respond to that type of negativity. We're human beings. We need to be positively encouraged. On one occasion, Sahaba were sitting with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They were all sitting together, in whichever way they used to sit, in the most beautiful way, in the way that we all wish we could be there. So they were sitting, and all of a sudden, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam got up and he left. And Sahaba were told they had to stay, and so they stayed. And then they waited, which was their habit. They would wait for Rasulullah ﷺ because they were living for the gatherings. So when the gathering ended, they didn't leave. They waited for the next gathering because that was what they existed for. So they're waiting, and it's taking so long, they became concerned. In the end, it's Rasulullah ﷺ. There are enemies of Islam that want to take his life. Nobody went with him. What happened? What if we should have been protecting him? What if some harm came to him? All these wild thoughts began to come in their mind. So they began to search. One goes in one direction, one goes in the other direction, one goes in the other direction. Of course, they're trying to find Rasulullah. One Sahabi, very simple Sahabi, he goes and he climbs, you know, goes underneath a wall or over a wall, and eventually comes to a garden, and he sees Rasulullah sitting there, by himself. So when he sees Rasulullah, he approaches Rasulullah, he says that, you know, we were worried about you, we were concerned about you. So Rasulullah says to him, Man qala la ilaha illallah, dakhala al-jannah. Whoever says la ilaha illallah, they enter into Jannah. So that sahabi became so happy with that statement, so hopeful with that statement. Now why? Because sahaba knew there's nothing in this world. They knew that no matter what success is attained, it means nothing. The only success is the success of the hereafter. They were fully tuned to that. And now they were being told that whoever says la ilaha illallah, they're going to Jannah. They're going to be successful. I mean, imagine there's a person studying for medical school, right? And they say, whoever signs up for the exam gets a spot in medical school. They would just kick back and relax. They don't have to worry about the score anymore, right? So these people were focused on something much greater. They're focused on the hereafter. They're being told, whoever says la ilaha illallah, they go to Jannah. There's no condition put there. That's it. Whoever says la ilaha illallah will go to Jannah. So that sahabi became so hopeful and so elated by that statement that he said, Ya Rasulullah, can I tell the others this? Can I tell everybody else this? Because we're all sitting in a panic. We all know that the only thing that matters is the hereafter, and we're worried about our hereafter. So can I go and can I tell the others this statement? So Rasulullah said, of course, you can tell the others. Then he said, but they're not going to believe me. They're not going to believe me if I make such a preposterous statement, such an extreme statement, such a hopeful statement. They're not going to believe that this is coming, that I got this from you. So can I take some proof? So he took the shoe of Rasulullah ﷺ, then he began to head back towards the gathering. Now when he was heading back towards the gathering, of course, everybody's still looking for Rasulullah ﷺ. They don't know that this interaction occurred. So Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, he bumps into Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu. Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu sees he has the shoe of the Prophet ﷺ in his hand. So he says, where did you get that from? I got it from Rasulullah ﷺ. Why do you have that? Because Rasulullah ﷺ said, Man qala la ilaha illallah dakhala al-jannah. Whoever says la ilaha illallah dakhala is going to enter into Jannah. This is my proof that this statement is coming from him. So Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu became very angry and forced him to run back to the Prophet ﷺ and then approached the Prophet ﷺ and said, Ya Rasulullah, if we make this statement, or it was this statement made, yes, if we make this statement public, the people won't do any more good deeds. They'll become so hopeful in the mercy of Allah that they might even leave deeds altogether. So, I mean, in the end, the statement was made. In the end, it was propagated in some way, shape, or form. But the point remains that Rasulullah ﷺ provided hope to the companions. And there's many examples of this. Many examples of this. When the companions would give everything that they could for the sake of the deen, and they had nothing else left to give, and they would actually leave the gatherings of giving, where there was asked, can you please donate, can you give sadaqah, this family needs this, or this cause needs this. When they had nothing else left to give, Rasulullah ﷺ would remind them, whoever gives even a piece of a date will be rewarded. Or protect yourselves from the hellfire even with a piece of a date. When you say protect yourself from the hellfire, even with a piece of a date, what does that mean? It means be hopeful. That even if you have just a piece of a date, and that's all you have, that can be sufficient to protect you from hellfire. So in the end, so much of hadith are statements that create hope in the mind of the listener that what is sought after can be achieved. And this is a theme that I consistently saw in approaching Shaykh Zulfiqar. Like, for example, in the case of my son and this whole issue with his hips, he would make it sound so easy. Like, oh, you're just like this, and you'll be done. You know, it's just a simple little task. And that provides so much encouragement that it gets the person to the next level. Same thing, I mean, how many times has he told my wife, you'll finish by this date, or you'll finish by this date, or you'll finish by this date. In the end, maybe she wasn't able to finish by that date, but what it did was it allowed her to get past that next hump. I remember when I was working on my medical book, which I've shared the story with you, he said to me, you have to complete this whole book in 1 year. So, you know, in the back of my mind, he said 1 year. I said, I can do it in 1 year. I'm working. I came to the point where I was 3 months away from that 1 year deadline. We went to Turkey. We met him in Turkey. I said, Hazrat, He says, how's the book? I said, there's no way. I'm on chapter 3. I need to write to chapter 19. And there's 3 months left. So he says, okay, I can give you a couple extra months. So what does that force me to do? It gets me, when I get close to the deadline, I'm working, 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 working. I vividly remember that winter break. You know, everybody's out, going here, going there. I was working till midnight, working till midnight, working till midnight, and trying to finish. And I was knocking out chapters in a week, like one chapter, 1 week, one chapter, 1 week, one chapter, 1 week. I was on such a fast pace that, okay, I didn't finish in a year. I finished in a year and 3 months. But when I look back at the people who have tried to do that, the last person in my field who did that, who wrote, you know, one of the major textbooks in my field, it took him 7 years to write his textbook. And he was brilliant. I mean, he's brilliant. I mean, he's a person who can write a textbook. That's all he does. I have so many other responsibilities. So what did it result in? It didn't mean that I would have completed in that period of time, but what it meant that he created so much hope that it could happen that I still was able to do something in a much shorter period of time than would ever be imagined. When I went to Sheikh Zulfikar and I said, look, I want to study deen. So he could have said to me, sure, yeah, you have to take off 8 years because you can't, there's no other way to do it. He said, how much time do you have? I said, I have 2 years. He says, 2 years is a lot of time. I remember, 2 years is a lot of time. So we'll create a curriculum for you. You'll do in 2 years what people do in so many years. Now, of course, you can't do what, if somebody's diligently working for 8 years, you can never do what they do in 8 years. But the point is that at least you can use your time wisely. And in that 2 years, you can do a lot. And if somebody's wasting their time for 8 years, you can certainly do in 2 years what people who waste their time in, let's say, 10 years or 12 years or somebody who's not focused would be able to achieve. So when Sheikh Zulfikar interacts with people, he always creates hope. Now, people come to him, they come to him with marital problems. They have gone to so many people. What have people told them? Oh my God, your husband does this. You need to go to court. You need to go to court and you need to file for divorce before he kills you or he does this or he does that or whatever it might be. I've never heard Sheikh Zulfikar talk like that. He'll say, oh, this is happening in your house? I am so sorry to hear that. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is greater than anything and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can change any circumstance. And I have seen this circumstance and this circumstance and this one. He'll tell you three circumstances more extreme than yours and why. How each of those circumstances the people were able to change when they turned back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they made a few minor adjustments in their life. He won't even tell you major adjustments, just minor adjustments in their life. So this is something that is embedded in our deen, which is that we have to create hope. When we interact with our children, we have to create hope that no matter what the circumstance is, they can get to the next level. When we interact with our families, we have to create hope. When we interact with people in the community, we have to create hope. Now you see, sometimes you meet people, no matter what you tell them, it's always negative. Oh, but you know, you're going to end up in hellfire. Oh, you're never going to succeed. Oh, you're never going to end up doing this. Oh, this is not possible. You can never do that. That type of attitude, it just totally destroys a person. There has to be hope. You have to find some light. Even if you go and visit a person who's on their deathbed, you're not commanded to say, oh, you're dying. Let's look at the clock and see how many hours you have left. You're commanded to find some excuse to make hope for them. Okay, they have a cancer. 99% of the people with that cancer die in 6 months. So what do you go there and say? You say, it's been 3 months. I'm surprised. You have 3 months left. Is that what you go and say? No, you go and say, I know the numbers are bad, but 1% survives. Inshallah, Allah will make you from that 1%. Why not? It can happen. It can happen, can't it? It can happen. It's possible. So we always turn towards positive. When we look at the Day of Judgment, we look at the hope that we have in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy. Far, far, far exceeds any fear that we have from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's wrath. Hope is a major thing that an individual needs to have. Sure, they have to understand the reality of what they face, and so you have to understand Allah's ability to punish, etc. But the point is that we're embedded in hope. And I have seen so many examples of Sheikh Zulfikar interacting with people who have the most extreme situations, who have the most dire situations, who are trying to achieve things that are very, very high and very, very lofty and very difficult to achieve in that period of time. He always creates some degree of hope in them. And when he creates that hope, that allows them to be able to reach new heights. And this is something that we as human beings, we need to embed in ourselves. It's part of the sunnah. So whenever we interact with anybody, first of all, we should have hope for ourselves, that we can achieve heights in our deen, that we can achieve change in our life, that we can improve our situations when we embed the sunnah and the sharia into our lifestyles. And we should also have hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive us and be more merciful towards us. Otherwise, how will a person be able to get up in the morning out of bed? And we should be able to have hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts whatever we give, as long as we make the best effort. So if I have this much time and I give it, Allah will accept it. And if I have this much wealth and I give it, Allah will accept it, etc., etc. But this is a deen of hope. And this is when you spend time in the company of the mashayikh, they create hope. They perpetually create hope. They'll rejuvenate an old hope even after it dies. So, for example, somebody's memorizing Quran. They tell that person, I think you can finish in 6 months. The person works. They don't finish in 6 months. He manages to pull them back in the company. Then they say really dejectedly, Hazrat, I didn't finish in 6 months. You said I could finish in 6 months. He said, oh, 6 months? But you have another 6 months. You can certainly finish. You have another 6 months. You can definitely finish. So he'll create this hope. He'll create this positive energy. And that positive energy is what ends up driving a person to succeed. But if you throw water on the fire, you know, if they have passion in them and it's a little passion and you blow the candle out, they're not going to be able to do anything. How is a person going to be able to do anything if you're constantly criticizing them, constantly telling them how this is not going to work, constantly putting them in the circumstance of threat? Human beings can't respond to that. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He make us among those who are able to take advantage of the hope that He has created within our deen. And we ask that He allow us to be able to attain new heights in our iman. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين